Case for the just holder, Connor.
Good morning. This case involves a petition for review from a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals finding the petitioner deportable for having committed an aggravated felony sexual abuse of a minor. When the courts and the Board of Immigration Appeals review the immigration consequences of criminal convictions, they employ what is known as a categorical analysis. And what that analysis requires is several parts. First, the court determines what the federal standard is for imposing immigration consequences, what I call the federal hook. Then the second part is they analyze the full range of conduct covered by the state statute, and you attempt to identify the most minimal violation of the state statute of conviction. And then what you do is you compare that most minimal violation of the state statute of conviction with a federal threshold, and you determine whether it categorically meets the federal threshold or not. In other words, all possible violations of the underlying statute of conviction have to violate the federal deportation threshold. I believe the courts also apply that same analysis in sentence enhancement issues. So in this case, there are two somewhat distinct federal thresholds that have been used. The courts tend to use the common meaning of the terms sexual abuse and minor. The term sexual, the sexual component. Yes.
This has absolutely nothing to do with the case because it's a legal issue entirely. What was the act?
The statute of conviction covers
statute, but I don't know what the specific act was that he pled guilty to.
That's not reflected in the record.
You have no idea.
I have. What you do is you don't look to the specific act to which he pled guilty. You look.
I just wondered whether you were as curious as I was. What the heck? What happened?
Well, I don't know. I have not spoken with him about it. He was in detention at the time, and it's a pure issue of law.
I see it has nothing to do with the faction, with the problem we have here. This is a pure question of law, not a question of fact, but I was just modestly curious.
Well, he was originally charged, and this is in the record, with the subsection A of the Indiana statute, which involves intercourse, but that was not the plea. He didn't plead to that offense. He pleaded to the lesser offense, which involves a touching, any touching with intent to gratify.
The question is whether or not the statute is broad enough to cover what we're talking about.
Correct.
Here. It's too broad. It's
the courts have defined the abuse term as conduct that involves the maltreatment or conduct which has a tendency to harm the minor. The board has applied a slightly different analysis. They look to 18 U.S.C. section 3509 by analogy, and that statute uses various terms that are defined, but in effect, to run afoul of 3509, there has to be conduct which involves what I refer to as very sexual body parts. It has to involve conduct which involves genitals, buttocks, anus, breasts, inner thighs. So I just use the
Where do you read that in 3509? That it has to involve genital parts?
It's in the definition of it's in the definitional section.
It says the term sexual abuse includes the employment, use, persuasion, inducement, enticement, or coercion of a child to engage in or assist another to engage in sexually explicit conduct.
Right. It's in the definition then that follows of sexually explicit conduct, which is discussed on page 14 in detail of my reply.
But the point is it says persuasion, inducement, or enticement. It doesn't have to actually happen.
Right, but you have to either touch or expose or do conduct which attempts to touch or expose any of those sexual body parts.
Well, it says it persuades another or induces another.
Persuades
or
another to engage in sexually explicit conduct.
Right, but there doesn't have to be actually sexually explicit conduct.
There does not have to actually be sexually explicit conduct, but then you have to have a statute of conviction, the Indiana statute of conviction in this case, in which there is categorically an attempt to persuade the victim to engage in sexually explicit conduct. That's the method in which they apply the categorical test. The statute of conviction in this case applies to a very broad range of conduct that includes conduct which is not sexually explicit. And in fact, this court just in the last 2 months ruled in the Osborne case. It was a sentence enhancement case, but they were interpreting the exact same statute of conviction as involved in this case.
And Judge Easterbrook in Osborne said, many criminal laws, of which statutory rape is the best-known example, rest on a belief that a combination of youth and age difference prevents an effective consent to sexual conduct. And then he says, sexual conduct without voluntary consent is abusive. Isn't that what we have here? We have a 20-year-old and a 14-year-old. We presume that there's no effective consent. Judge Easterbrook says sexual conduct without consent is abusive.
No, this statute does the consent or non-consent of the victim is irrelevant. It is not a defense under this statute to argue that the victim consented.
I'm done.
Okay. So the 3509 is a broad statute, as the government points out, but there are limits to its reach. There has to be either conduct which involves one of these sexual body parts, or exposure of one of the sexual body parts, or efforts to persuade the minor to engage in that sexually explicit conduct. But that is narrower than the full range of conduct that's covered by the statute of conviction in this case. As the Osborne case pointed out, the statute of conviction in this case can cover conduct such as kissing or stroking a leg.
Nibbling on the ear, I think, was on another one.
That's one of my examples, Your Honor. I don't think that one made it into the Osborne decision. The Osborne decision, I would say, makes almost every major point that I've made in my brief. And they specifically held that the Indiana statute did not reach conduct covered by the sentence enhancement provision there, which was, it was not the identical provision as this case. The sentence enhancement in that case, I believe, applied to abusive sexual conduct involving a minor, and in this case, it's sexual abuse of a minor, but the terms are the same, and they both involve abuse. And what the immigration judge and the board, and indeed the government in this case, have consistently argued is what makes the Indiana statute abusive is the element requiring an intent to sexually gratify. Now, we concede that that will meet the sexual component of sexual abuse of a minor, but it does not meet the abuse component.
Based upon my reading of the immigration judge's opinion, he found that the conduct prohibited by the Indiana statute was sexually exploitive. Why wouldn't that satisfy the abuse component?
Because it's not sexually exploitive, because he didn't go through any analysis. He said it's sexually exploitive because it requires an intent to sexually gratify. It's a circular rationale that he engaged in.
How old was your client at the time of the event?
I believe he was 20 at the time of the event. I see I'm into my rebuttal time. If there's more questions, I'm more than happy. I enjoy the answering questions. I think that's the main reason we're here. So.
Thank you.
Another chance. Vitoros, I think.
May it please the court, Thomas Vitoros for the Attorney General. Mr. Gaiskov is an adult who touched a 14 or 15-year-old child with the intent to arouse or satisfy his sexual desires. The board properly determined within its discretion that Mr. Gaiskov's felony conviction constituted sexual abuse of a minor. And I'll pick up directly on the court's inquiry into the Osborne case. In Osborne, we had the exact same criminal statute. And we had this court looking at that criminal statute and looking at the federal law in 18 U.S.C., specifically the criminal definition of sexual abuse of a minor, and saying that when we compare this statute, this Indiana statute, to the conduct that is set forth in the criminal definition of sexual abuse of a minor, we don't find that this statute is necessarily abusive. Where in this case, we are not applying the criminal definition in 18 U.S.C. Specifically, we are not doing that. When the board interpreted the phrase sexual abuse of a minor, it specifically considered whether it was going to employ the criminal definition in 18 U.S.C. and declined to do so. In fact, there was a specific dissent in Rodriguez saying we should apply that criminal statute. So in Osborne, we have the court comparing rationally in the world of criminal law whether this Indiana statute meets a criminal definition, and we have in the immigration context the board saying we are not going to apply that criminal definition. And this court in Gatham and in Lara Ruiz said that that determination was appropriate, that was reasonable. In contrast to petitioner's argument, the INA does not require specific touching or specific parts of the body. Had Congress intended to do so, it could have. The INA is replete with examples where Congress has employed criminal law and said that the interpretation of the statute or the interpretation of the immigration law is dependent on criminal law. It did not do so here. And this is instructive because the criminal definition of sexual abuse and sexual conduct is made in relation to specific parts of the body. It is made in relation to specific conduct. Congress chose not to use that. The board considered that argument, whether it should or not, and rejected it in Rodriguez-Rodriguez. Interestingly, Rodriguez-Rodriguez involved indecent exposure, so we have absolutely no contact whatsoever. In the immigration judge's decision, he employed actually two reasons for why this falls within sexual abuse of a minor. First of all, the idea that touching a minor with the intent to sexually satisfy yourself or arouse yourself is in itself persuasion. And as this court has said in Gatham and in other cases, such type of persuasion or solicitation is in and of itself abusive. Secondly, and this is, I think, where the Osborne case needs to be distinguished, the judge went on to say that any time you use a child for a sexual purpose, it is going to fall within the board's broad definition of sexual abuse of a minor, because using a child for a sexual purpose is in and of itself abuse. Possibly not abuse, or not abuse, if we were going to relate it to the criminal statute, but it will be when we're talking about how the board has interpreted this provision. Inherently, these statutes are paternalistic. As this court found in Gatham, when it was talking about a sexual abuse of a minor, we are talking about children with or minors with a less developed sense of judgment. And that is the court's only analysis of this harm. In fact, in Gatham, we have a vigorous dissent, figuratively standing on a chair saying, where is the abuse? Where is the analysis of the abuse? And this court...
Imagine that to Judge Posner, that analogy.
Judge Posner's opinions are never quiet, I would say. They are always full-throated.
They're always on a chair, but go ahead.
Well, it was full-throated, and this court rejected that idea that abuse needs to be, we need to look at the victim and say, look at the psychological data and see, well, is this victim somebody who's going to be harmed by that? Because these are paternalistic statutes. There's nothing about the act itself that makes them abusive. It's the fact that you have an adult and that you have a minor.
Are there any criminal offenses that you can think of that involve both minors and an element of sexual intent that would not fall under the board's interpretation of sexual abuse of a minor? It seems to me what you're saying is as long as there's sexual intent and as long as there are minors, then you have sexual abuse of a minor.
That is the second part of the immigration judge's decision. So that is the board, and the board adopted that. So that would be the board's opinion. But the immigration judge has a second element, which is this idea of persuasion. So there can be cases that maybe would involve sexual conduct that would not involve persuasion. Specifically, that is...
Can you think of any?
That would
involve persuasion, but it would not involve sexual abuse?
No, I couldn't. What I'm saying is that because that's separate, that we have the idea of persuasion as one of the grounds for why this meets the definition, that would be an area where this case could be affirmed without finding that all cases involving children and a sexual intent would be sexual abuse of a minor. But the board made both findings. The board made the finding that if it involves persuasion, it is. And if it necessarily involves sexual contact with a minor, it is. So those are two separate determinations. And respectfully to the court's decision in Osborne, it specifically said that this type of exploratory touching between students in high school is not a form of abusive sexual contact as that word is ordinarily understood.
Persuasion just asking?
Well, that's what solicitation generally is. And that is what this court has found. It is
in order for somebody to avoid the position taken by the Board of Review, you'd have to keep your mouth shut. Even asking questions would get you in trouble.
If you're soliciting some sort of, if you're doing that for the purposes, if you're doing that for a sexual purpose and you're involving a minor, then yes. The question does come, then is there a change when the ages are different? Here we have categorically a two-year difference. In the Rodriguez case involving indecent exposure, which could have been between two high school students like Osborne, we have a minimum of a three-year difference. This is a question of line drawing. And in Osborne, this court had the ability to draw that line. It had a reasonable district court judge saying that any time you touch a child, it's abusive. And this court saying, no, we disagree with that. Well, in the context of immigration, when you have the discretion of the board is the one that's making this determination, the board can come to a reasonable determination that is different from this court's reasonable determination, that high school students 2 years apart engaging in this type of sexual activity is sexual abuse of a minor. And that falls within the broad definition set forth in the board's decision. For these reasons and the reasons set forth in our brief, the decision of the board should be affirmed and this petition denied.
Your Honor, the government first stated that to distinguish Osborne, it pointed out that it involved a criminal definition of abuse. The problem in this case is that the board and the immigration judge's decision in this specific case did not meet any accepted standard of abuse. It did not meet the BIA's own published decision in Rodriguez standard where you must have body parts which are objectively sexual. The government points out that in Rodriguez it involved exposure. Yes, that is true. And my point is precisely it involved exposure of sexual body parts. It does not require a touching. The Indiana statute requires a touching. Rodriguez standard does not require a touching, but there must be an element where sexual body parts are involved under that standard. The government also points out that the immigration judge indicated that touching a minor is itself a form of persuasion. Unfortunately, that either is an attempt to rewrite the Indiana statute, because the Indiana statute does not provide that. The Indiana statute does provide other penalties under attempt to engage in intercourse, attempted intercourse with a minor, things like that. The Indiana statute recognizes that the mere act of the kissing, for example, could be a form of sexual gratification. I listened to the oral argument in the Osborne case, and one of the Judge Rovner, who actually issued the opinion in Gaddam, indicated that under that same statute, possibly, I think she quoted Jane Austen, that holding hands might be a form of sexual gratification. So the immigration judge cannot rewrite the Indiana statute and hold that touching for sexual gratification is an attempt to persuade the minor to engage in sexually explicit conduct. In some instances, it might be, but in other instances, that touching itself might be the form of sexual gratification. In addition, that analysis by the immigration judge is throwing the categorical test out the window. You don't make inferences. You look at what must necessarily be the case. So then the government pointing out that the sexual touching is itself abusive, that will read the abusive element out of the statute. Both the immigration cases and Osborne have an abuse element which must be supported by a statutory element. And the sexual component by itself is not sufficient, as held by Osborne. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement. Both sides have the